And I do pray that all will be well with you and your loved ones in this coming new year. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas with your family. I'm reading this morning from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, and then Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, 14 through 20. And Matthew tells us this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And now Luke 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Over 500 years ago, in 1498, Leonardo da Vinci completed a 30 by 14 foot painting high on the wall of a church in Milan, Italy. The Lord's Supper took 3 years to paint. And today, thousands of people flock from everywhere to Milan to view the world's most imitated masterpiece. But at one time, through neglect, abuse, decay, this painting was in danger of being lost forever to future generations. In 1656, the friars who lived in the building thought so little of the painting that they cut through the legs of the apostles to enlarge a doorway. When French troops occupied the building in 1796, they hung a burlap sack over the painting and used the room to store hay for their horses. And in 1943, during World War II, a bomb crashed through the roof, severely damaging the building. But fortunately, the wall with the painting had been covered with sandbags and a tarpaulin, and so the painting survived. Years later, the government of Italy decided that a restoration project was needed. And after the restoration, Carlo Bertelli, who was in charge of the project, said that it was done with patience and devotion and love. And then he added, "This is a painting that has never died." So it is with the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper has never died itself. It has survived the centuries. And today, on this Sunday after Christmas, we gather around this table and remember the Lord Jesus and why He came to us so long ago in Bethlehem. This is indeed a table of remembrance. What is it that you remember when you come to this table? Well, I can tell you that I remember the cross, the old rugged cross. Holman Hunt once painted a picture that speaks to us at this point. The painting depicts a carpenter's shop in Nazareth. Jesus is standing by a wooden trestle on which He has placed His saw. Lifting His eyes toward heaven, He stretches and He raises both arms above His head. The sunlight catches the figure and it casts a shadow on the wall behind Him, and the shadow is in the form of a cross. Make no mistake about it. The cross cast its shadow over the life of Jesus from His very first moment on earth. From the cradle in Bethlehem all the way to a place called Calvary. And I submit to you that the shadow of the cross falls across this Lord's table this morning. For Jesus and the cross are inseparably bound together. He endured the cross, scorning its shame. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And when I come to this Lord's table, I remember His sacrifice, His suffering. Some time back, a California newspaper had this advertisement that said, "Jesus bread, authentic Last Supper recipe, delicious, easy, $2. But the truth is, there's nothing cheap or easy when it comes to what this cup and this bread represent. "This is My body," He said, "broken for you. This is My blood shed for the remission of your sin." Understand that death by crucifixion was not a pretty thing. It was one of the cruelest, most barbaric forms of torture and execution that the world has ever known. And Jesus died that kind of death. So look again at this table. There is bread here. That is true. And there is juice here. That is true. But it is a whole lot more than that. There is agony here, and blood and sweat and tears and suffering. And all of that leads me to say that when I come to the Lord's table, I remember His love. Because He loved me, because He loved you, He endured the cross. This is how we know what love is, said John. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And I would remind you that it is a generous love. The renowned Oxford scholar C.S. Lewis wrote a book entitled The Great Divorce. It's a story of a person on a bus leaving hell, going for a day's visit to heaven. And during the trip, one man confronts the bus driver. He demands more information. He says that he demands his rights, and the bus driver tells him to sit down and get quiet. And if he'll do that, he will get far better than he deserves. And so it is with God's love for us in Christ. It is far, far better than anything we could ever deserve. That's why Paul used the word grace to describe it. By grace are you saved through faith. Grace is the free, unmerited gift of God, the undeserved generosity and love of God. And I would remind you that the love of God is an inclusive kind of love. It doesn't shut anyone out. It's extended to all men everywhere. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and whosoever, that doesn't leave anyone out, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Someone wrote, please remember, Christ did not die on the cross for the perfect. Christ did not die for the godly. Christ did not die for the good. If Christ would have died for the perfect, the godly, and the good, there would be no hope for our souls today. However, since he died for the imperfect and the godly and the ungodly, there is hope for all of us, even you, even me. When I come to the Lord's table, I remember His love, especially His love, and that in His love is my hope, my forgiveness, my redemption, and not just for me, but for everyone and for anyone who will claim it. Who will open their hearts and receive it. In a sermon on the wise men following the star to Bethlehem, King Duncan tells us that after the wise men found the Christ child, not only did they go home a different way, but Duncan says that they went home different men than when they came. And he then tells the story about a man named Bill Denby. Bill Denby, he tells us, was a 20-year-old Army private who served his country in Vietnam. On March 26, 1971, a Viet Cong rocket hit his vehicle. And Bill lost both of his legs below the knee. He spent the next year in Walter Reed Army Hospital in Washington, D.C. And he then tried to put his life back together. Bill was a promising athlete before Vietnam. Now he had no legs. All he had, said Duncan, was faith and determination. And so Bill began to play sports again with the aid of artificial legs. He was in Nashville, Tennessee in 1987 at a basketball tournament sponsored by the U.S. Amputee Athletic Association. He was invited to do an audition for a DuPont commercial. Bill said he was a little bit wary about doing a commercial. He knew that in television they could go to the cutting room and put it together in any way they wanted to. And so he was a little bit reluctant, but he agreed to do the commercial. The day of the filming, he said, was long. He played basketball for over 4 hours as the camera recorded his every move. At one point, the director, Rick Levine, called him aside and asked him if he would mind if one of the players knocked him down. This was a new twist to the commercial, but the director felt that it would give it some dramatic appeal. Bill thought about it for a moment and agreed, and it worked. They say that the fall added humanity to the commercial, especially the expression on Bill's face after he hit the ground. The commercial was a success. It even won some awards, and Bill became something of a celebrity where he lived. He said, "I walked into McDonald's the other day to get something to eat, and this guy says hello to me." And I said hello back, just thinking he was being friendly. But then he added, "I like the commercial." And Bill, reflecting on his newfound notoriety, said, "I have a tendency to think we're all sort of crazy. The idea that 30 seconds could completely change a man's life." And then King Duncan added this in his sermon, "Do you believe that a life can be changed in 30 seconds? I do." "All we have to do," said Duncan, "is to kneel before the manger. Don't miss your opportunity. Everyone is welcome. Give him your heart today." Infant holy, infant lowly, for his bed a cattle stall, oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Swift are winging, angels singing, Noel's ringing, tidings bringing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Flocks were sleeping, shepherds keeping vigil till the morning new. Saw the glory, heard the story, tidings of a gospel true. Thus rejoicing, free from sorrow, praises voicing, greet the morrow. Christ the babe was born for you and for you. The hymn of invitation is 210. "My Jesus, I love thee. And I invite you to come to him that you might have life, even eternal life. Come and recommit your life to him. Come and unite with his church." As we stand and as we sing, "You Come." Please be seated as we